That's the gift you should buy yourselves before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Take it to shul. It's a Sefer Kodesh Ad Miyoid. Not only that, when I spoke to him, I didn't realize that you can get a daily email of Emunah, daily Emunah. And that's where these books are, this book is taken from his daily emails or the speeches that he gives. And it's wonderful, and it'll give us chizuk. So let's remember tonight, we have to make a commitment in the memory of Naftali Frankel, how he loved the mitzvah of tefillin. Let us expand it to the mitzvah of davening, to disconnect, to reconnect. I want to share with you a story, an amazing story. I believe you know the Rebbetzin Kanievsky, right? Of course. Listen to this story that Batsheva Kanievsky wrote. An amazing story. And tonight, once again, we're going to become so elevated when we hear this story and what we can learn from it. We're going to change. And we're going to change to the better. We're going to change our kids. Listen to this. She writes a story that when she was a little girl, maybe 11 or 12 years old, it was 1948. And there was another war that was going on, the Milchemet HaShichrur, the War of Independence. And she was the daughter of Rabbi Yashiv, and they lived in Me'er She'orim. And bombs were flying from the Jordan side into Yerushalayim. And Rachmana Litzlan, I'm telling you, I had no idea that she had a younger sister. And she writes that one afternoon, a bomb fell in onto the house of Rabbi Yashiv. It pierced the ceiling, fell into the bed of her younger sister, Rivka, 4 years old, and killed her. And Rabbi Yashiv said, we're not living anymore here in Me'er She'orim. We've got to move to a different part of Yerushalayim. And they moved to a place called Mishkanos. Now, the only problem was that bread was rationed in those days in Israel. And you could only buy bread at a grocer where you were registered as a local resident. So now that Rabbi Yashiv moved to Mishkanos, he couldn't get bread in the grocery in Mishkanos because he wasn't a resident there. So somebody had to go back to Me'er She'orim to get the bread because that's where they were registered as residents. So Batsheva said, I'll go. So she had a great Zaidi. Does anybody know who her Zaidi was? Rabbi Arya Levine. As soon as I talk about a tzaddik, Ronnie Aboff walks in. How you doing, Ronnie? Okay. He doesn't look like a tzaddik, but he really is. I know him. Okay. Anyway, listen to this. So Rabbi Arya Levine says to his daughter Batsheva, I'm going with you. You're not going alone. And she writes that the whole time that they were walking in the streets, he kept on saying, this kapitel tilim yeshev v'seser. We all say it at night before we go to sleep. Yeshev v'seser, it says in the Gemara in Shavuos Tezvav Amud Beis, is called Shir Shel Pegoim. That's the song. If somebody doesn't want catastrophe to happen to them, you say Yeshev v'seser. I say it now every single day besides saying it at night. Yeshev v'seser. And she writes that they were going. They passed the hospital and Rabbi Arya Levine said, Batsheva, now you're going to have to go alone. She said, Zaidi, what do you mean I'm going alone? How could I go alone? He said, say Yeshev v'seser. And he had to go into the hospital. Why? Because there were so many men that had been killed. And they were going to make a mass burial that afternoon. And all these women would be agunos. Because nobody knew who they were. They just picked them off the streets and put them in the hospital and they were going to bury them. He said, I can't allow that there should be agunos. I have to go in there and try to identify as many as possible. And so therefore he went inside. And she writes that her father, who was the big masmid, Rabbi Yashiv, every 10 minutes he stopped. He wanted to know, did Sheva come back yet? Did Sheva come back? And she came back safely. And when I read this story, I was trying to think, what is so special about Yeshev v'seser? And I took out the kapitel and tilim and I started learning it. And then I realized, I believe I know the answer. You know what the answer is? There's a pasuk in there that says, Ki malachov yitzav aloch lishmorcha b'chol derechecha. Hashem is going to command his malachim to protect you. And then when I saw that pasuk, I thought, oh, you're the boy in the alma. I remember an unbelievable story about the word malach. Do you know that many years ago, there was a young woman in her early 40s. She was married, she had a few children, and her husband was very sick. And the doctor said, your husband is so sick, I can't take a chance doing the operation. I need a higher authority to tell me that I can do it. Because I'm afraid he'll die on the table. He's so weak. So you get a higher authority that'll tell me that I can do it, I'll do it. He meant She should go to a university hospital, a big hospital, find a doctor, and the doctor will tell him that he can do the operation. She's thinking, higher authority. Who's the highest authority that I know? She says, oh my husband, 20 years ago, he learned in Teres Yerushalayim, but Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's the highest authority. I'm going to go ask Rav Moshe. Now, her husband hadn't kept up with Rav Moshe, but still, he learned it, so she's going to go. So the doctor happens to call her. He says, did you find a higher authority? She says, I'm going to him tomorrow. Oh, which doctor are you going? What university are you going to? She says, well, it's not exactly a doctor. It's a rabbi. He says, I don't believe it. What do you mean? You're going to a rabbi? Whether I should make an operation? This guy doesn't even have a medical background, and he's going to rule that I should make or I should not make the operation? She says, yeah, I trust him. He says, I don't believe this. Do you mind if I come with you? I have to see this myself. I cannot believe that a rabbi is going to make such a decision. She says, come. So the next day, she goes with the doctor and her father. They go to FDR Drive. They come to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe sees the doctor. He gives him tremendous derech eretz. He asks him all the questions what about the nature of the operation and the seriousness of the illness and all. And then he turns. Rav Moshe turns to the lady and says, you know, you told me that your husband learned it 20 years ago. I don't remember. Tell me something about him. She says, Rosh Hashiva, I have a picture of him, of what he looked like 20 years ago. Oh, he says, very good. Let me see the picture. Rav Moshe takes a look at the picture, and suddenly he recognizes this boy, this young man, and he starts crying. And when he started crying, the doctor turns to the wife and says, now I understand why he can make such a decision. A person with such compassion, a person who could feel pain for another person, that he's going to cry for a person that he didn't remember till now, such a person can make the operation. And listen to what Rav Moshe said. You won't believe it. You'll think a Hasidic Rebbe is talking. Rav Moshe said they should have the operation, but he should make a Kabbalah. He should be makabel that from now on, every bracha that he says out loud, he's going to say it so that somebody should answer amen. Write it down. Amen. Aleph Mem Nun is equal. How much? Who can figure it out? 91. The word Malach Mem Lamed Aleph Chof equals how much? 91. He says every time he says a bracha and somebody says Amen, a Malach will be created and that will protect him. And he had the operation and he lived another 6 years. And he said, Rav Moshe said also he should get other people to say brachas out loud so he'll be able to say Amen. And when I started telling this story, somebody said to me, do you know how old Rav Moshe was when he died? I said, I don't know. He was in his 90s, right? He says, go look up in the biography. You know how old he was? 91. Now you want to hear something amazing? What perik is Yeshe B'Seisa and Tillim? 91. How do you know that? Tzadik Aleph. Isn't that incredible? So I think tonight, if we want to make a connection to Hashem, we want to be protected in the new year. We have to go home and tell our kids, from now on we say brachas out loud. So that we say amen and malachim will be created. And I want to tell you, every single time I speak, I'm always drinking water. And I've been chalashing to drink. But I'm waiting for this moment. So I'm going to make a bracha. And we're going to say amen together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaroi. Amen. All the malachim should protect. Now I want to tell you how I once got in trouble with this. The first time I filmed a Tisha B'Av video for Michael Rothschild and the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, we filmed it 2 months in advance. You know, I'm sitting there drinking, you know, in the middle of the speech. And then he watches it and he says, what is going on here? 60,000 people are going to see you drinking on Tisha B'Av. You got to film it over. So anybody who's watching this film, it's not Shiva Subatamas and it's not a Thursday May. I mean, it's not some Gedalia. So, you know, here's to all of you. Here's one more thing that we can do, which I think is so important. A change, an elevation. You know, we spend so much time davening. And we often wonder why the tefillahs seem not to be answered. And especially there's so many heiliger women that say tillim. And we have tillim groups and omein groups. So Rabbeinu Bechaya tells us something that's absolutely amazing. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, a pshat in a pasuk that we have said 5,000 times in our lives for sure. But listen how he understands it. Of course, there's the simple meaning in the pasuk. Koroi v'ashem l'chol koirov, l'chol asher yikra'uhu be'emes, Hashem is close to all who call him with sincerity. But Rabbeinu Bachaya says, Kol hamachzik b'midas ha'emes. Anybody who undertakes the midah of honesty, he doesn't cheat, she doesn't lie, she doesn't over-exaggerate, tfilosai nishmoes. The tefillah will be listened to. Why? Because that's what David HaMelech says. Korav Hashem l'chol korav. Hashem is close to all who call him, l'chol asher yikra'u b'emes, to all who can say, I am a person of honesty. And that's what we have to tell our children tonight and tomorrow until Rosh Hashanah. We're going to daven. We have so much to daven for. For peace, for health, for finances, for wisdom, for Yerushalayim, for Avos Yisrael. We want Hashem to listen. Tonight, let's make up. We're not going to lie anymore in this house. We're not going to over-exaggerate. No teacher is going to tell their student they're giving back the test on Monday when you know very well you're not going to look at it till Thursday. Nobody's going to say, I'm going to deliver the part. Or I'll be at your house for the meeting and you know very well you're not going to be there on time. You want to hear what MS is all about? Listen to this. You won't believe this. Let's see if anybody can figure this out. Rabbeinu Bachaya says in the first pasuk in the Chumash, every single nekuda is there except one. Ah is there, O is there, Segel, Kometz. There's one in Bereshis Bara Alekim, Esa Shemayim, Esa Oretz. Which nekuda is missing? Who can figure it out? Who said? What'd you say? The U is missing. You know why? How do you say U in Hebrew? What is that it's called? Shuruk. Shuruk, shin, reish, kuf, is oisyeh, sheker, shin, kuf, reish. Zok, the heilig, Rabbeinu Bachaya, sheker cannot be at all in the first pasuk in Chumash, because that's the foundation for Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what we got to tell our kids. From now on, we're going to shut our cell phones before we start davening. From now on, we're going to say brachas out loud. Amen, malach. And from now on, we're going to start saying the truth. And not lie, and not exaggerate. You know, not allowed to lie to your kids. You know, there's a woman, I don't know if I should say her name, Mayor Wickler's wife. You know, she's a wonderful lady. She once told me something amazing. She said that when she was in high school, she was learning Parshas Hazinu. She was learning Parshas Hazinu, and Hazinu is not an easy Parsha. And the teacher told them, anybody who knows Hazinu by heart with the Taich will get a prize. It was in June. I guess finals came up, report cards, vacation. She knew it, and she never got the prize. She tells me every single year, Parshas Hazinu, she still thinks, that teacher, it's 40 years ago, she still owes me the prize. So recently she told me she met a friend of hers who graduated together with her, and they're talking about that teacher, and Mrs. Malcolm Wickler says, remember what she said about Hazinu? And the other girl says, don't tell me you're thinking the same thing. She says, she promised you the prize, right? She says, yeah, every year, Parshas Hazinu, I'm still thinking. Both of these women, Nebuch, they're still thinking about the prize they were supposed to get 40 years ago. Because the teacher made a promise. Don't promise your kids something if it's not going to happen. You want to hear what's Erlchait? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had, his wife was very sick and she needed an operation. He wanted to get a bracha from Rabbi Moshe. So he had Rabbi Moshe's unlisted number. So one of the sons told me, they said to the father, Rabbi Yaakov, why did you call Rabbi Moshe on his unlisted number? You have that number. Nobody else has it. Everybody's calling him for Shilas. But that number's available. Listen to what he said. He said, that number was given to me in case there's an emergency in Klal Yisrael. So I should be able to get to him right away. There's no emergency in Klal Yisrael. It's my personal emergency. I have no right to use that number. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you an amazing thing. Rav Segal was once on a trip on a train from Manchester to London. So he bought an economy class ticket. But in the economy train, they were in the cabin, there were a lot of hoodlums there. So he decided he's going to go to the first class cabin. And you know how it works in London. The conductor comes through and he was going to pay the difference. But what happened is when he went in with his Talmud, by that time the conductor had already gone through. So when he came to the train station in London, he went to the clerk and said, you know, I switched in the middle. I'd like to pay the difference. So the clerk said, don't worry. It's okay. You're here already. It's fine. So Rav Segal says to his Talmud in Yiddish, "Isn't it the balabos?" You know, he doesn't own this train station. We owe the money. So he went to the manager of the station and he paid the difference. And then the manager turns to the Talmud and says, "Your rabbi is one in a million." That's honesty. So I'll tell you what happened with me. The first time I went to Belgium on Sabena Airlines, Oliver Shalom, there's no more Sabena Airlines. So it was a long line. I had economy ticket. And there's nobody checking in first class. So the guy behind the counter says, anybody here first class? I raise my hand. He says, you got a first class ticket? I said, no, you want them to know if anybody here is first class. I'm a first class guy. He said, check in first class. Well, he didn't let me sit first class, but he let me check in. Because I am a first class guy. That's what he wanted to know. So, thank you. So, we have to change. We have to change. It's Elul. Echad l'chatas v'echad l'oila. We have to go home and tell our kids tonight. We're going to disconnect to reconnect. Let's make sure Shabbos is Shabbos. Mitzvahs on mitzvahs. Let's learn. I'm telling you, I know that you're going through such trauma. So many of you. So many, so much pain on this side, on that side. And it's lonely. And so many divorced people tell me it's 10 times worse to be divorced than to be an almana. Please be meichel me. And the reason is because everybody blames them. They always feel they're getting blamed. Nobody blames an almana unless she shot her husband. Right? But somehow, the divorced people, they're always getting blamed. Right? So, you have to go through. You have to make a connection to Hashem. Get this book, I'm telling you. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel good about Hashem. And you'll never, ever, ever give up. And that's what this book is all about. Not giving up. Going through the tough times. But look at this. People in previous generations, they didn't have a support group like From Divorce. We owe Benny a tremendous yashar koyach. Benny, wherever you are. There he is. The hero of the night. So let me just end with this great story. Many of you heard of the name Rav Michal Ber Weissmandel, who was a great, great tzaddik who lived in Europe, and Nebuch lost a wife and five children. He came to America after the war. He remarried. Mr. Shem, all of you should be able to remarry. And he had five children. His fifth child was a boy. And at the bris, he said this remarkable thing. Remember this forever. When the Satmar Rebbe heard the punchline of this story, he broke down and he cried. Rabbi Chaim Ber Weissmandel said, I had five children on the other side, and they died al kiddush Hashem. Now that I have five children here in America, I hope that they will live al kiddush Hashem. He said, five children are in Shemayim. He said, now I have a new pshat in Kedusha. Nikadesh eshimcha be'olam. Let us sanctify your name in this world. Just like those who died al kiddush Hashem, they sanctified Hashem. Naphtali, Ayal, Gilad, the soldiers, all the martyrs, all the Yidden over the years who died al kiddush Hashem, they died al kiddush Hashem. Let us live al kiddush Hashem. We live in a great country. We live in a place where we can have a kinnus like this. Where we could have 100,000 at MetLife Stadium for a Siyum HaShas. V'koroz ze'elzevi omar. Those that are in Shemayim will be able to look at us and say, we live lives of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We look at them and say, they lived lives of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. V'koroz ze'elzevi omar. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Both those of us in this world will be able to look at those in the other world and say, they died on Kiddush Hashem. Let them look at us and say, we live al kiddush Hashem. I couldn't help but think the morning after we found out what happened with those three boys. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. That's the least we owe them. They gave up their lives unwillingly, but they gave up their lives al kiddush Shem Shemayim. In Elul, we have to make a commitment that no matter what, no matter what we go through, we will try to be those exemplary Yidden that will live lives of kiddush Hashem. That our children will live lives of Kiddush Hashem. So, Shetaka Biva Koroz Elzevi Amar Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And now I want to end with one thing which I heard this afternoon from a Rav, Rav Shalom Axelrod. I told him, and I was going to say this thing about Yesh Koina Oilomai Besho Achas in one turn. And you know what he says to me? Rabbi Krohn, this is the year to say it. I said, what do you mean? He said, next year is Tof Shin Ayin Hey Sho'ah. Tof. Shin, Ayin, Hey, Sho'ah, that's the year when we're going to make that turn and we're going to live lives of Kedusha. David should help that we should make the turn, understand the priorities, make sure we say brachas out loud, we daven with connection to Hashem, We become people of emes. We live lives of Kiddush Hashem. We should be zoicha to a year of Yeshua's, Nechama's,